It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
What did American icon Mark Twain have to say about the 4th of July? Twain said, quote, "Many public school children seem to know only two dates, 1492 and the 4th of July. And as a rule, Twain said, they don't know what happened on either occasion," end quote. The commercial-free Global Alert News Hour starts now. On this 4th of July, what should be our reflection? What should be our focus? Have we collectively taken a radically wrong turn along the way, or perhaps too many to ever even count or quantify? Have we collectively allowed the clinically insane and criminally corrupt to take control of the wheel altogether? Another nugget of wisdom by Mark Twain. Quote, "It is by the goodness of God that in our country we have these three unspeakably precious things, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and the prudence never to practice either of them," end quote. And then there is this final needed dose of philosophy, timeless philosophy, from Mr. Twain. He said, "Each man must for himself alone decide what is right and what is wrong, which course is patriotic and which isn't. You cannot shirk this and be a man," Twain said. He continued with, "To decide against your conviction is to be an unqualified and inexcusable traitor, both to yourself and to your country. Let men label you as they may." What exactly are we celebrating on this particular 4th of July? Let's cover some breaking headlines to find out. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, says the U.S. has, quote, "way too much virus to control pandemic as cases surge across the country." Another headline, the World Health Organization director warns coronavirus pandemic, quote, "not close to being over," end quote. Another headline, Gilead's coronavirus treatment, remdesivir, to cost $3,120 per U.S. patient with private insurance. Another headline, coronavirus, asymptomatic people can still develop lung damage. Another headline, U.S. coronavirus cases rise by 47,000, biggest one-day spike of pandemic. Another headline, as virus roars back, so do signs of a new round of layoffs. Another headline, car sales plunge 33% in the second quarter despite deals. Another headline, states beg, borrow, and cut to close massive budget gaps. Another headline that summarizes many of those I just covered. The end of empire, the era of U.S. domination, has now passed. The end of the so-called American dream. With that title, again, as I mentioned in previous broadcasts, a documentary film that it seems those in power are doing their best to now hide or rat hole, shove in a closet somewhere. Earth and the American Dream, a profoundly moving and accurate film that I would encourage any to acquire however they can. They have not made it easy to acquire this film. But it's an incredibly moving and, again, accurate portrayal of the price the planet has paid for the so-called American Dream that has been a major foundational factor in pushing Earth's life support systems to the point they are now at, where they are unraveling in every direction, not just blaming the U.S., of course not. Russia, China, and countless other industrialized countries, all disasters, all of them. But if we look numerically at the equation, the U.S., with approximately 4% of the global population, has used 25% of Earth's resources. How could that equation possibly continue? And now the planet is going down in flames, but other countries are also now nothing less than snakes eating their own tail, just as the U.S. Another headline on that front, Sweden gets heavy dose of quantitative easing to slow economy's free fall. Quantitative easing, for those who don't know, it's simply manufacturing money out of thin air and passing it out to the population to keep the party going slightly longer, to pacify populations until the last possible moment, which will likely come with blinding speed, the total collapse of what was. And from so many directions, it's simply being kept on life support as long as possible. In Reading this week, with no announcement, one of the Bank of America branches was closed. No real reason given. And they direct you to the last remaining branch in the area that's open. And there was already 45 minute to an hour lines waiting outside this bank to even get in. And now it's closed. Everybody has to go to one bank. When will all the banks close? When will, again, the current reality completely implode? And that time is near. There's no question. Short of some unforeseen force intervening, I don't pretend to claim or know what that might be. But short of that, we are about to hit the wall at full velocity. More headlines on that front. Double WTF chart of the year. For those that know what those initials stand for, Tesla becomes most valuable automaker and blows by Toyota. This comment from the Rice Farmer website on this. To mark this moment in the history of insane stock prices where a tiny automaker with a global market share of 0.5% and a massive loss in 2019 becomes the most valuable automaker in the world, exclamation point. Again, it's a Ponzi scheme house of cards. The stock market always has been, but now more so than ever. For those that don't realize that, you're not looking with open eyes. Another headline, the war on cash, COVID edition part one. Many objectives being carried out. There's no question that this scenario is tied to countless objectives. Another headline, under this new law, cryptocurrency could become illegal. Another headline, Aeromexico becomes the latest Latin American airline to file for bankruptcy. Another headline, Boeing kept FAA in the dark on key 737 MAX design changes. Another headline, EasyJet plans to cut 727 pilot jobs and close three UK bases. Another headline, military deployed in Ethiopian capital after more than 80 killed in protest. This is the unfolding anarchy, chaos, and carnage that is not coming. It's not off on the horizon. It's already here. When there's not enough to go around, when there's not enough food in the shelves to feed populations, the law of the jungle will break out with blinding speed. There's no question about this. It's already happening. Americans have been falsely led to believe that such realities could never happen here. And they will soon find out how wrong that notion is, how blind such a notion is. Another headline on that front, in fact. Protesters with literal pitchforks just showed up to billionaires' mansions in the Hamptons. Another comment from the Rice Farmer site. If some of the nation's wealthiest were planning on a quiet, leisurely retreat to the Hamptons estates ahead of the 4th of July weekend, they're off to a bad start. No question on that one. In many regions, the 4th of July celebrations can mean dealing with mosquitoes. Consider the following new report. Eco-genocide and the genetically engineered mosquito army. From that report, a rubber stamp government in Florida, which just gave unanimous approval for the release of hundreds of millions of genetically modified mosquitoes by a company with deep ties to Bill Gates, the U.S. military, and Big Ag. Question, what might the ultimate motives be behind such frankenbugs? How many instances are there of this kind of insanity that we've not been told about? Perhaps in ticks, fleas, for those who have read Lab 273 relating to Lyme disease and its origin, how much is the public completely unaware of? More headlines from KGWnews.com. The outbreaks of COVID-19 are not all the same. The ones in the U.S. are of a larger order of magnitude than those in any other affluent country. Let's do a little updated math on that equation. The U.S. is now at about 2,742,000 official cases of COVID. China's still hovering at 83,000, not moving. Whether you believe these figures, whether these figures are accurate or inflated or not, is up to the listener to decide. I'm simply stating the math, the officially reported math. That means that there are 33 times more cases in the U.S. Now, if we take this to a per capita equation, China having over four times the population of the U.S., that means that per capita, the infection rate in the U.S. is about 135 times more than China officially. Again, whether you believe that or not is up to you. I'm simply reporting the math. What's going on? What's wrong with this equation? If the U.S. actually had notice of what was coming and China didn't, but yet we're per capita 135 plus times more infection rate, what's wrong with the equation? And we know we have mutated viruses now, likely many, many different strains being let loose on populations. That's what it appears is occurring. That's what geoengineeringwatch.org has tried to warn about for so long. Biosphere collapse would radically increase power structure desperation that would likely manifest in many forms. Global conflict, false flag events, and pathogen release. We have stated this on the record for nearly a decade. We're now there. And with all the attention of populations, governments, media all over the world on this scenario, why are none still asking, what is the origin? What is the source of these viruses? A peer-reviewed study from 2015, again published in the journal Nature and other sources, proves that the, quote, gain-of-function characteristic of COVID-19 that allowed it to make the jump to humans was completely engineered in labs in the U.S. and China. Again, why is such a monumental and verifiable fact completely absent from the conversation? Fauci directed the funding for the engineering of this bioweapon through the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the National Institute of Health, $7.4 million. And who knows how many versions of this pathogen or others there are. In the words of Dr. Chuck Baldwin, former presidential candidate in 2008, how many members of the medical industrial complex have gone from, quote, protectors to predators? Or worse, how many in the medical industrial complex have always been predators? How long has Dr. Anthony Fauci been at the helm of these agencies since the start of AIDS? And how many unexpected pandemics have happened since then? And how does Fauci know when they're coming? How does he know when there's going to be a second wave? How does Bill Gates know all the same? These people are all a core part of what's unfolding on our planet, and so many others behind the curtain. How many remember how tenaciously the medical industrial complex, official agencies, and elected officials pushed the ventilators on populations? With that in mind, consider this new report. Quote, new study shows nearly 9 in 10 COVID-19 patients on ventilators don't make it, i.e., they die. Report states a giant study that examined outcomes for more than 2,600 patients found an extraordinarily high 88% death rate among COVID-19 patients in the New York City area who had to be placed on mechanical devices to help them breathe. The study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association is one of the largest reviews published to date of COVID-19 patients hospitalized in the U.S. Remember how much money medical facilities were receiving for patients that were diagnosed first with COVID, and that amount tripled to, I believe, near $40,000, $39,000 if they were put on a ventilator. How many tens of thousands of ventilators were pushed and forced on populations that were in fact killing patients? And these are what the experts told us was necessary to protect us. More on that subject in a moment. But geoengineeringwatch.org has consistently stated that U.S. populations were the greatest remaining liability to those who actually wield the levers of power from behind the curtain. Search and review the protocols if you wish to truly examine the depth of depravity that we are collectively facing. In regard to uncomfortable and unwanted and increasingly alarming news, so many knee-jerk to the, quote, it's just a conspiracy theory, programmed response, without any objective investigation whatsoever. Consider that the, quote, conspiracy theory accusation is all too often the final fallback of the factless and the fearful. That's who uses that term. It's a very cowardly approach to ramming your head in the sand and hoping others will do so to provide some false sense of security for those who, again, use this tactic. Moving on from Thailand Medical News and other sources, this new report, warning, mutated strains of COVID-19 from Europe could render those recovered from earlier strains defenseless. For the record, this fact also means that even the concept of a vaccination for the long and growing list of COVID strains is pointless. And this is not even to consider all the statistically proven injury and mortality related to vaccines and vaccinations. Given the volumes, mountains of available data on vaccine injuries and mortality all over the world, data that's available to anybody who chooses to investigate, why would anybody at this point choose to actually believe that we're being told the truth about vaccines and their overall effects from any official source or from the medical industrial complex? Back to the Thailand Medical News report. According to warnings from Chinese researchers, individuals infected with the earlier SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus strains could be defenseless against the more aggressive European strains. Again, multiple strains, very uniform eruption of these pathogens throughout other continents. We had 25 countries in the first wave, 85 in the second wave. That is indicative of airborne distribution. We have peer-reviewed science study to prove that the COVID pathogen has been found on airborne atmospheric particulates. All of these dots connect. This would have implications, these multiple strains, for countries like Japan, South Korea, and most of the Southeast Asian countries, and China, as most of the individuals infected in the earlier parts of the crisis were infected with other COVID strains. The Chinese researchers say antibodies found in patients who had been infected with earlier forms of the pathogen failed to neutralize the mutant strains. Vaccines against any individual strain are pointless, and yet they're being pushed on populations. Completely experimental vaccinations. More about that in a moment. Let's add a few more pieces to the puzzle. Now we have some completely new pathogens surfacing from BBC and other sources. Flu virus with, quote, pandemic potential found in China. A new strain of flu virus that has the potential to become a pandemic, a new pandemic on top of what we already have, has been identified in China. Again, the researchers are concerned that it could mutate further so that it can spread easily from person to person and trigger a global outbreak. The report goes on to say, quote, it's new. People could have little or no immunity to the virus. How many of these will they continue to throw out? We stated from the beginning of the current unfolding scenario that it is likely there are many strains of this pathogen and others that can be introduced to the equation at any point in time of the power structure's choosing. There is ample data to back up such a conclusion, given that we know from mainstream sources that even going back nearly a half century to 1977, the U.S. military had admitted even at that point in time that 239 open-air biological experiments had been conducted on innocent U.S. populations without their knowledge or their consent. How does our military treat its own soldiers? Used as lab rats routinely, not just by injecting who knows what kind of vaccinations into them with often catastrophic results, but sending them out to watch nuclear bombs go off with a set of goggles on and telling them you'll be fine. All of them died early deaths. All of them. Those in power have absolutely no regard for our military brothers and sisters. They're simply cannon fodder to those in power. When will that become clear? How many empirical wars will need to be fought? How many honorable men and women will die? As we're to celebrate on this 4th of July, what are we celebrating exactly? The accomplishments of empire? That's not what makes a country great. That's not what makes a people great. It's not what makes an individual great. The courage to fully face the truth, no matter how dire or painful or uncomfortable. That is the true measure of honor. and virtue. Another headline report, quote, "This is not just accidental," end quote. How one coronavirus mutation helped the virus conquer the globe. The report states the epidemiological study and our data together explain why the G variant of the COVID virus spread in Europe and the U.S. very quickly. The statement was from a Dr. Cho. He's a virologist at Scripps Research Center and a lead author of an unpublished study on the G variant's enhanced infectiousness in laboratory cell cultures. Dr. Cho said, quote, "This is not just accidental," end quote. Think about that. Another team of researchers described the feeling of shock when they realized just how much more effective this mutation made the virus in terms of its ability to break into human cells. More versions of the virus released. Those in power can stoke these fires as they choose. A slow, measured burn. Not to panic populations, but to continue in the current trajectory. And it's leading to a place that none of us want to be. More headlines. This one from the Jerusalem Post. Quote, "U.S. company with Israeli roots to test COVID-19 vaccine on humans by August." The report states the vaccine utilizes, quote, "self-transcribing and self-replicating mRNA technology," end quote. Question, for how much longer will the majority of populations blindly allow themselves to play the part of lab rats for the medical industrial complex? Again, the same above-the-law complex of agencies, corporations, and criminals that actually engineered the gain-of-function characteristic into the virus in the first place. As already stated in the 2015 peer-reviewed science study, this fact is confirmed and already has been covered numerous times on this broadcast. This bioengineering facilitated the COVID jump to humans. Those ultimately responsible for creating this Frankenvirus have claimed that it needed to be done, that they needed to understand how such a virus would behave in order to, quote, protect us. Those responsible for engineering the COVID gain-of-function characteristic include Dr. Anthony Fauci and the National Institute of Health, with Bill Gates also lurking in that mix. And let's not forget who now works directly for Bill Gates, former U.S. defense industry scientist Dr. Ken Caldera, who stated on the record, we have the audio of this at geoengineeringwatch.org. I've played it on this broadcast again too many times already, but he stated that one of the tasks he performed for the U.S. government was to find ways of seeding clouds with pathogens to infect the populations below. Albert Camus stated this so appropriately. He said, quote, "The welfare of humanity is always the alibi of tyrants," end quote. How incredibly accurate that is, now more than ever before. We are repeatedly told to, quote, "trust the scientists, trust the experts," by all those that have made it their mission to push official power structure narratives. But is such blind trust warranted or deserved? Unfortunately, in far too many cases, far too many individuals do, in fact, continue to trust the, quote, "scientists," that are in so many cases bought and paid for by corporations in every imaginable arena, most especially the military-industrial and medical-industrial complexes. We are told by the so-called experts that vaccinations are, quote, "safe and effective." Yet, a mountain of irrefutable data continues to prove that vaccinations are, in so many cases, neither effective or safe. Vaccine-related injuries and mortalities continue to rack up, while the entire pharmaceutical industrial complex enjoys total legal immunity, and the U.S. government pays off vaccine victims with the condition that they accept being gagged and cannot pursue further damages. How many have been faithfully accepting their flu vaccinations as they've been told by official agencies and mainstream media and the pharmaceutical industrial complex? And let's consider again the peer-reviewed study we have conducted in 2017 and 2018 of DOD personnel that proved those that had had the flu vaccine were statistically 36% more likely to contract the COVID pathogen and 51% more likely to end up with a pneumonia scenario. We are told by so many so-called experts that being bombarded with radio frequency microwave transmissions is, quote, safe. Nothing to worry about, they say. Yet again, a mountain of science data proves otherwise. We're told by the so-called experts that climate engineering is not actually occurring in our skies all over the world. The experts say if geoengineering was occurring, it would look exactly like what we see in our skies. But, they say, we're not actually seeing what we're seeing. We live in a rapidly expanding asylum. Those that are awake and willing to look squarely at the wider horizon understandably feel trapped between the hammer and the anvil, caught between a criminally insane and completely out of control power structure and a population that is, even now, generally unwilling to objectively investigate the facts, let alone to face unpleasant but verifiable realities. To those in academia, to agency personnel, to elected officials, please do what you know is right while you can, and while it can still make a difference. Band together with your colleagues. Take a stand together so that you cannot be so easily picked off by the power structure and its countless tentacles that have infiltrated into every imaginable aspect of our lives and our collective realities. And who are those at the very top? Many ask, who are they? They are those who control the money printers. It is a very, very small circle at the top of the power structure pyramid. Again, they control the printing of money. They can fund militaries, thus they own countries. We don't have a country with a government. We have a government that owns a country. And for those that think so-called elected officials are in charge of anything, think again. The political stripes they wear are irrelevant. The whole left-right, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican theater is facade, very successfully utilized to divide and conquer populations. Very convincing with the corporate media used to propagate this theater. But we have to get past that because we will sink or swim together, and we are sinking very quickly at this moment. Understand that. To those that are afraid to stand and be heard, this question, what exactly are you afraid of at this point? If the human race remains on the current course, planetary omnicide will very soon be our common destination. Do you believe your silence will save you or your family? The entire ship is going down, i.e. planet Earth, its life support systems, and the web of life. If you were in a location on the Titanic that had not yet been submerged, would it be reasonable to do nothing, believing you are somehow insulated and immune from the fate of the ship as a whole? I think not. To those whose voices could yet make a difference, again I ask, what are you afraid of? What's the worst that can happen to any of us? That we get a one-way ticket out of the planetary asylum? How would that moment feel to one that knows they could have made a difference, but instead chose to hide silently in the shadows and do nothing? Yes, the fear of losing one's job or social acceptance can be a great deterrent. How well those in power know this. How well they have utilized this knowledge. But such a fear can and must be banished. Fear must be exchanged for courage and action. How can this be done? Many ask. The first giant leap in the right direction is by letting go of the empty values that so many societies have taught and instilled in their populations. Next, by honestly considering what is the only possession any of us can truly call our own, our will. The Creator has entrusted each of us as the custodians of our free will. Our only responsibility in this life is to exercise this greatest of gifts with honor, with morality, with virtue, and in doing so, unshakable courage and confidence can be achieved. If such a leap of faith is not taken now, then when? Again, to those in academia, in agencies, to elected officials, and to our military brothers and sisters, band together behind the scenes and then stand as one. Make your voices heard while it can yet make a difference. In a moment, a succession of the most critically important breaking headlines on the most dire threats we face. But first, to each and every individual that's doing their best to stay informed, to wake others with credible data from a credible source, and to help turn the tide, thank you. more than I can ever fully express. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference at this late hour. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert Commercial-Free News Hour, episode number 256, July 4th, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings, same time slot, repeat broadcast. Recordings of this broadcast can also be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. This broadcast is also re-aired on the East Coast on the PRN Radio Network Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Some other stations across the country have picked up this broadcast. If you can help us to find a station that's willing to carry the broadcast, we certainly offer it for free. We have no monetary interest whatsoever. Our only goal is to sound the alarm while we can. We will help facilitate any station that wants to put this exact 55-minute broadcast on any time slot they have. We will work with that station to accommodate that. We simply need to have the contacts and the introductions. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Again, having printed, compelling, credible materials to pass on is exponentially more effective than anything we can say verbally. And these materials can be mailed out to elected officials, to agencies, to environmental groups. The list is endless, but you can review these materials at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. If you want materials in bulk, we can offer that as well at even further reduced costs. Again, our only goal, to sound the alarm. And many still ask the alarm on what? They ask, what are truly the most critical threats that we collectively face? And at this point, an example I've brought up before, the photograph of the Sri Lankan man standing on the beach with the ocean receded before him, staring blankly out toward the sea as the tidal wave ominously approached. And again, this so far has been the behavior of too much of the human race, and that tidal wave consists of countless converging catastrophes. It includes the current scenario that we are facing in societies that is directly connected to the imploding life support systems of planet Earth. So, of all the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us, what poses the greatest and most immediate overall threat? A threat to the very existence of our species on this formerly thriving planet. From numerous sources, quote, "The world's climate catastrophe worsens amid the pandemic. Everything is connected. The actions of those in power are directly connected to biosphere collapse, what's unfolding in the background." And this is what we've tried to bring to light at geoengineeringwatch.org for well over a decade. From numerous sources, South Pole warming three times faster than the rest of the Earth, new study states. The report states the South Pole has warmed three times faster than the rest of the planet in the last 30 years. New research showed Monday. How many times have we been led to believe it's just the Arctic that's a problem, that the Arctic was warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet, which sounded horrific enough, which is horrific enough, and now we know that over the last 30 years, or now we have an admission, I should say, from the science community, that in fact Antarctica is warming three times faster. And we have pointed this out at geoengineeringwatch.org over many, many years. Do we really believe that the science community didn't know? No, they knew. They were simply unwilling to tell us the truth, and now they can't hide it any longer. From the SiberianTimes.com, Arctic wildfires burning further north than previously spotted from space, satellite shows. The fires are burning both north and south of the Arctic Circle. The planet's life support systems, its temperature control mechanisms, are literally melting down and going up in smoke. And this is what so few are yet willing to face, investigate, and try to comprehend and allow for. One domino falls that knocks over a larger domino, which in turn knocks over a still larger domino, until the cascading effect cannot be stopped. And that's the path we are on. And as the polar meltdowns occur, as I've covered in so many previous broadcasts, it is allowing methane hydrate deposits in tundra and on the seabeds to thaw and release migrates through the water column to the surface of the sea and then into the atmosphere. Methane is lighter than air. And this has been occurring for many decades, but now it's accelerating to a point that is truly cataclysmic. The Bermuda Triangle and the ship sinkings there, that's methane release. It's been occurring for many decades. So when these methane deposits release from the seafloor, they aerate the water like a bottle of champagne. The ships have no buoyancy, and they go to the bottom intact. This is not scientifically disputed, but it's not known by most of the public. And as I've stated in so many broadcasts, if you want to see a direct effect, photographic evidence of these methane expulsions, which are literally explosions in so many cases, search Siberian methane craters, and you will be absolutely shocked at what you see. And this process is radically accelerating. And again, it's happening on seabeds. And when these methane deposits release, hydrogen sulfide is often released with the methane, hydrogen sulfide being heavier than air. And this is where you get the reports of the rotten egg smell that floats into coastal regions. And scientists claim they don't know what's occurring and they don't know why it's there. And that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. The methane, again, lighter than air, migrates into the upper atmosphere. Hydrogen sulfide migrates into coastal regions when the methane expulsion is close enough to those regions. Hydrogen sulfide, very toxic. This is the planet imploding around us, absolutely imploding. And I can't express this enough. The equation we face is unimaginably non-linear. It is exponential. It means that these changes are occurring at an ever more rapid rate. In fact, statistically, mathematically, the current Earth changes are unfolding at conservatively hundreds of times the speed that has ever been recorded on our planet from paleo data. We are in totally uncharted territory. This is scientifically termed abrupt climate and biosphere collapse. This is mass extinction with a jet engine strapped to it. And that will be increasingly impossible for those in power to hide. And that leads us right back to the scenario that societies are facing right now. An engineered scenario that has many aspects, many layers to it. And interwoven in all of this is the ongoing atmospheric aerosol jet sprayed dispersions, the climate engineering, solar radiation management operations, aka weather warfare, aka biological warfare. We know these elements are toxic. We've lab tested on the ground, at atmosphere. There's no question about this. And as far as these jets spraying and this not being condensation, that is inarguable. We have up close film footage of these aircraft spraying with nozzles visible, turning on and off. End of argument. The high bypass turbofan jet engine, a jet powered fan. 90% of the air that moves it through this engine is non-combusted. These high bypass turbofan jet engines, which is all military tankers and all commercial aircraft, by design are nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under rare and extreme circumstances. And how difficult is this to decipher? When we have one day that looks generally blue, although there's always some haze in the sky. If you have polarized glasses, it's even easier to see. Sometimes it looks like a plasma that's difficult to see without polarized glasses, but it's there. But then the next day, with almost identical atmospheric conditions, we have a grid pattern in the sky. This should not be hard to conclude that these operations are ongoing. Again, it's inarguable. The film footage proves it. Up-close photographs of the nozzles retrofit on aircraft, mounted on the pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like exhaust. And again, the whole science community telling us this is exactly what we want to do. Retrofit jets to spray particulates in the atmosphere. It would look exactly like what we see. The same elements that are showing up on the ground are exactly what we want to use, but we're not doing this. It's not happening, and you're not seeing it. We live in an absolute asylum. Absolute asylum. And so many roads lead back to man's attempt to play God with the weather. And it's not a benevolent attempt. It's about the preservation of power for those that are already in power. It's about controlling populations. And we have so many statements from so many of the insiders like Zbigniew Brzezinski stating these goals on the record, many times on film. And yet, so much of the public continues to falsely try to convince themselves that governments are there to protect them, to preserve their personal paradigm, to make sure that they experience the American dream themselves. We have to wake up from that state, because it's not a dream. It's in fact a nightmare that is going to get rapidly worse from here on out, a nightmare that will very soon end badly if we do not collectively awaken and alter our course. More headlines on the collapsing climate and climate engineering's part in that from the Siberian Times. June snow in Siberia's south, as highest ever Arctic heat is recorded in Russia's coldest region. Engineered weather whiplash scenarios getting rapidly worse. Patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification being used when there's enough moisture to cool down the surface of the planet to create some sensationalized headlines of cold, cold, cold on a planet that is in full-blown meltdown, with climate engineering further fueling the overall fire. Short-term, highly toxic cooldowns at the cost of an even worse warming. Search on geoengineeringwatch.org, the engineering winter sections, the engineering drought sections, and the engineering wildfire sections. Another headline from multiple sources. Why 2020 to 2050 will be, quote, the most transformative decades in human history. The report states the 30 years from 2020 to 2050 will be among the most transformative decades in all of human history. Collapsing ice sheets. And then it states this, the aerosol crisis. What does that mean? Aerosols in our breathable air column, and a vast majority of which come directly from the climate engineering solar radiation management operations. The specific stated goal of these operations is to fill the sky with light scattering aerosols, starting with aluminum, barium, strontium, and other toxic elements, to block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. At what cost? At trapping more heat than it deflects, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, and toxifying the entire environment on the surface of our planet. Report continues, rising sea levels will force more people to leave their homes than at any other point in human history. In some places, that means conflict is inevitable. The report continues, a study from researchers at the University of California at Berkeley found that higher temperatures and shifting patterns of extreme weather could cause a rise in all types of violence, from domestic abuse to civil wars. In extreme cases, it could countries to cease functioning and collapse altogether. Newsflash, that's right now. It's not 30 years off. And on the current course, there is no question, not mathematically, not statistically, we won't be here. We face, statistically, at the current rate of wildlife die-off, which we're losing 200 to 300 species a day of plant, animal, and insect to extinction. That's 15,000 times the background rate. That's 1.5% of normal. There's nothing normal about that. And at that rate, which is exponentially increasing, and this rate was... these calculations are before the catastrophes in Australia and the wildlife annihilation there. At that rate, we face the functionally extinct zero hour for wildlife on Earth in 2026. And these types of public pacification, which it should be alarming enough to think we only have 30 years, we don't have 30 years, we don't have 20 years, we don't have 10 years, we don't have 5 years of this paradigm on the current course. In fact, our reality is changing day to day right now. And this is what we've warned about at geoengineeringwatch.org for so many years. It's not just that you wake up overnight and the planet stops supporting life completely, although it's happening at blinding speed. It's that once the immediacy and severity of what's unfolding can no longer be hidden from the population, the power structure will become unimaginably desperate, and that time is now. It's now. It's not off on the horizon. It's kicking in the front door right now. There are almost 8 billion people on our planet at this point in time and counting. And though many are occupied with simply trying to survive, and I feel great compassion for them, far too many are following the compass of their own self-interest. What could go wrong? And that's not hard to assess at this point. It has gone wrong, unimaginably wrong. From multiple sources, this headline, Earth's geomagnetic field, which protects us from cosmic radiations, is weakening, ? Here's what researchers have to say. The report states, at a time when the world is battling the dreadful coronavirus and trying to find a cure for the highly contagious infection, a new problem has emerged for mankind. Scientists at the European Space Agency have warned that the Earth's magnetic field is weakening in some areas. Is this a cover-up for the destruction of the ozone layer that is directly related to climate engineering more than any other factor? Because that's the kind of deception we get from the science community. And consider that countless forms of human activity have decimated the planet's natural systems, detonating over 2,000 nuclear weapons, some detonated in Earth's upper atmosphere. There is the constant bombardment of the planet and the atmosphere with the massively powerful radio frequency microwave transmissions, The list goes on and on. In countless ways, our host planet Earth is being pushed toward a state in which life may no longer be supported. Planetary omnicide will soon be our common destination if the human race continues on the current course. Planet Earth is quite literally under siege. About the Saharan dust cloud, for shocking NASA satellite images, proof of what the climate engineers can and are doing to weather systems as they migrate from Africa toward the West, search this title, geoengineeringwatch.org, NASA satellite imagery, shocking proof of climate engineering. Search that, look at those images, and you will be shocked at what you see. From Fox, ABC, and other sources, the Saharan dust cloud could cause allergy symptoms similar to COVID-19. What else is in that dust cloud besides dust? How can we possibly know if so many official sources are lying to us about everything imaginable? We are swimming in a sea of lies, and certainly that we know that we're being lied to on countless issues at countless levels. But the blatantly obvious and rationally inarguable climate engineering assault is a stellar example. As already mentioned, geoengineering operations utilize massively powerful radio frequency microwave transmissions that are literally inflicting extensive tears in Earth's protective atmosphere. How can we truly know what the overall consequences and ramifications are of the climate engineering insanity? Answer, we can't. But we can say no functional atmosphere, no life on Earth. Simple equation. More headlines of a collapse. New from PhysOrg and other sources. Major new paleo climatological study shows global warming has upended 6,500 years of cooling. It has overwhelmed completely the natural cycles of the planet. In regard to the truly incomprehensible pace of Earth's warming, I regularly cite science study on the following point, that Earth is warming at the thermal energy equivalent of over 400,000 Hiroshima bombs per day. The following comment was recently submitted to geoengineeringwatch.org, quote, 400,000 Hiroshima bombs per day, question mark? Come on. That's the comment. I've never asked anyone to believe this statistic, or for that matter, I've never asked anyone to believe anything I report on the geoengineeringwatch.org Global Alert News Hour. What I have asked is for the listeners to investigate what is reported for themselves. In fact, the actual thermal energy equivalent rate of planetary warming is even more than the heat contained in 400,000 Hiroshima bombs per day. From numerous science sources easy to find online, earlier this year in 2020, the ocean is warming at a rate of 5 atom bombs per second. Scientists warn. Let's do the math. How many seconds in a day? 24 hours times 60 minutes is 1,440 minutes. 1,440 minutes times 60 seconds per minute. That totals 86,400. So 86,400 seconds in a day times 5. The final total number is 432,000. So based on the most recent frontline science statistical data, Earth is warming at the thermal energy equivalent rate of 432,000 Hiroshima bombs per day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And even more troubling, the rate isn't holding steady at that figure. It's increasing. A review of temperature data from the 50s through 2019 by an international team of scientists states, quote, the amount of heat we have put into the world's oceans in the past 25 years equals 3.6 billion Hiroshima atom bomb explosions. So for those who knee-jerk because a statistic sounds impossible to believe because it's so horrific, please investigate first. That's all I'm asking. Please investigate before you deny, roll your eyes, and walk away. That's all I've asked for in this broadcast ever. I'll try to cover a couple more headlines before I'm out of time on this broadcast. Arctic sea ice witnessed massive decline in 2019. Siberian forest fires increased fivefold in a week since the record high temperatures began. And there's the issue of the disintegrating ozone layer again to consider, and how many have taken notice of the often searing heat of the sun. This can wax and wane. The ozone layer thinning is always in a state of flux. The thinnest zones migrate constantly. And how many are trying to grow vegetable gardens, only to have many plants fried by the increasingly intense UV radiation, which for the record now includes UVC radiation, the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. And we all know how bad that is. Being able to grow our own food will become increasingly imperative. But how are we to accomplish this with the rapidly deteriorating condition of our planet's life support systems? and I'm personally struggling brutally with my attempts to grow fruits and vegetables in the wilderness of Northern California. And though I'm versed with forestry practices and have limited experience with gardening, my efforts to grow food are, in general, flailing. I know most of the edibles that exist in the forest, but there are fewer and fewer to be found. I've spent my life in the forest. The UV bombardment and the effect of the increasingly toxic precipitation on soils and the microbiome is truly taking a toll. My sabbaticals into the wilderness are now with a heavy heart, though I deeply relish and regard every strand of the web of life that's struggling to hang on. I grieve for all that has already lost the battle. Many massive Douglas fir trees now silent and dead, and trees that I once laid below on the forest floor, mesmerized by the sound of the wind weaving its way through their thick and formerly vibrant green crowns. And how much I miss my days of solitude wandering through and working in the forest to restore habitat. Last week, I revisited the remote forest pond that I made mention of in a former broadcast. A pond that 3 years ago dried up completely, a direct result of climate engineering operations cutting off precipitation to the western U.S. And the drying up of this pond left the resident bullfrogs at the mercy of a forest full of desperately hungry predators. There were many signs of struggle in the dried mud of the pond and the tracks from bears and cougar, raccoons, bobcats. It was again with a heavy heart that I examined the setting, and I so wished I would have known what was taking place. I so wished I could have saved some of the bullfrogs. And as I formerly shared on a previous broadcast, I was determined not to allow such an event to occur again. While operating a D6 caterpillar in the then dry bed of the pond in the effort to deepen it for the future, over the course of 2 days, I spotted and saved two large individual bullfrogs completely unharmed that had, against all odds, managed to somehow survive the predators, and even more miraculously, the movement of the 30,000-pound bulldozer that I was operating in the pond basin. I was inspired to the marrow. And back to my last week's visit to this pond, now a deep and dependable safe haven for the bullfrogs, which I returned to the remote pond after winter rains refilled it 2.5 years ago. Last week, I stripped down to my boxers, dove in, and slowly and quietly made my way around the shoreline, my eyes just above the waterline. I came face to face with a number of my frog friends. Big bullfrogs sitting stoically on the banks of the pond, my face only a foot or two from theirs. And we stared at each other in silence, perhaps each wondering about the other. And for now, the frogs are safe in what I call Lost Lake. But for how long, given the state of the world? I've been told, quote, you've been warning us for over 10 years and nothing has happened, end quote. First, the statement that nothing has happened over the last 10 years is perplexing to me. How much has occurred in even only the last 6 months? And next, when is the warning of use? If you're standing blindfolded in the middle of a highway with a diesel truck coming straight at you, would it be best to receive a warning to remove your blindfold and take appropriate action while the truck is still far enough away to evade and escape? It would seem so. Thus, it is also perplexing that some seem to believe that a warning should only be issued moments before impact. Such individuals seem to believe that unless the events warned about occur within perhaps days, they convince themselves that the warning was not valid. It is incumbent upon us all to make every effort to continually clear the lens through which we view the world. Leonardo da Vinci stated this, "I awoke only to see that the rest of the world is still sleeping," end quote. Though we must recognize and accept what is not in our control, we, each of us, can decide what we will choose to do with the only possession that we can truly call our own, our will. When our final moment arrives, will there be any solace for those that have chosen to expend their will primarily toward monetary gains and social acceptance by actively or passively participating in the construct of insanity that surrounds us? Or, in fact, can truly unshakable solace only be found in knowing whatever comes, one has done their absolute best to play their part for the good of the whole? Our will can never be taken from us, ever. It is solely in our power to refuse to go silently into the night, to stand against the fading of the light no matter what. Make your voice heard in this epic battle for the greater good. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more about how you can help to turn the tide. Share credible data from a credible source. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.